We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
I checked tomorrow already, and here's how the old brain works, okay? I already checked tomorrow's forecast and did the following math. Now, my wife, for most of you know, my wife, a nurse, so she does not work like your typical 9 to 5, 5 days a week. It's we get basically 3 out of every 7 days she works. She's working 12 and a half hours a day, though, so that's kind of how the week goes. She does not work tomorrow. Both my boys have haircuts later in the morning, like when I would already be at work. I am already preparing, cracking my knuckles and preparing my, hey, babe, I'll have dinner ready tonight when you get home. Is it cool if I just run to the golf course tomorrow morning? I'll probably be up before, you know, the kids won't be up till 9. They'll probably stay up late tonight. You think, you mind if I just sneak out for 18 holes? You know, I got a thing I'm playing in next week. Just want to make sure I get out there and can swing the club the right way. Hey, do you mind? I'll send that text in the next break and report back to everybody how it went. It's always a very nerve-wracking thing. My wife, very understanding about the golf habit. I think it's my only true vice. I don't go around, you know, going out for drinking nights with the buddies. My wife and I usually are the ones hanging out on the deck with our neighbors. I don't smoke. I don't do anything like that. I'm not puffing Marlboros. I'm not sitting there smoking Camel Unfiltered, smelling like a chimney. Golf is the only thing. So usually she's very good about it. I don't know why I'm nervous about this one today. But I got to, if you've ever been in this situation, fellas, you know you've got to craft the perfect text. And then I saw one of those dumb memes that actually like rang very true to me. No one is more productive than a husband with an imminent tea time. And it was a guy like getting his entire house clean, like being like this perfect, like, look, I did all these things around the house. You're good. You can just hang out. Nothing. I was like, this speaks to me. Because even if she didn't know I was angling to play golf, if my wife saw me like, you're folding all the laundry, you're vacuuming all, you're cleaning like toilets here right now. What are you doing? Oh, you probably want to play golf tomorrow, right? Because I think it's just, it's like being a kid again, right? You say like to your parents, if you want something, well, look, I cleaned my room. I did all this. That's me. Like, I want to play 18 holes. Look what I did. I organized the garage, took out the trash, cut the grass. Look at me. I'm perfect. I can't wait for Donnie, by the way, to understand these joys. He doesn't play golf, but he has things he likes to do. He'll be a married man soon enough. Next year. He'll understand. He'll get it. Steelers get to camp tomorrow. It's like kind of it's a signpost day in what we do for a living here. And I think on most sports fans' calendars, hey, you report to camp. It doesn't have the same je ne sais quoi. It does not have the same time-honored feel and whatever of pitchers and catchers report. Hope springs eternal. NFL's is more like business. It's time. When you hear pitchers and catchers report, you know the seasons are changing for the warmer up north. Like, oh yeah, baseball, how nice. Training camp breaks, team reports to camp. It's like, holy crap, it's on. I've already seen one picture of George Pickens getting stripped from behind on a long play at Cowboys training camp by Deron Bland. So we're running. I was trying to do the math before the show. I was actually sitting here trying to think about this. The Steelers have had, for various reasons, one of which is they are just one of the most highly scrutinized teams in the NFL. They have had very intriguing seasons of recent vintage for various reasons. And I was trying to think, given all of the offseason movement here, given how many things happened that were outside the realm of what usually happens for the Steelers or with the Steelers, where this one ranked. And so, like, my little, like, primer sentence for myself, my brainstorming sentence was basically, this is their most intriguing season upcoming since blank. Couple thoughts I had. The last year of Ben, 2021. I think because we all knew after they kind of wanted 2020 to be his swan song and they were like, hey, we're giving you a pay cut. And he said, okay, I'll still take $15 million. They tried to do the quiet, let him quiet quit, and he wouldn't. So then you knew 2021 was going to be it. And I think there was a weird push-pull. Like, I think he didn't quite want to go. He wasn't going to fight it anymore. They were definitely going to be done with him after that. Just the curiosity factor, what was left in the tank, I think, for him. Because he looked physically like a diminished version of himself, and that's more a compliment to what he was at his peak physically than a detriment or me dogging him, saying he was a bum. He was just physically one of the most dominant players at the position when he was right, and he was not that guy anymore. The first year post-AB, so the year Ben tore his elbow up, I felt like was a very interesting year heading in. You had cleared out a guy who both was a massive distraction at that point, but was also still an insanely productive player, and you were going to try to enter into a new sort of realm, or you were going to enter into a new era without him, and you were going to get some answers to questions about, like, okay, how good is the quarterback without his best receiver? How good is Juju without the guy that took all the attention away? I thought that year had some juice, and then it became very strange. It became kind of a year defined by a cult hero because Duck Hodges got there. COVID year was bizarre and intriguing for different reasons. The bottom line is I think it's got to be their biggest and most intriguing year in at least 4 or 5 years, probably since Ben's last year, but I could probably go back to 2019, which is the 2019 really stands as the beginning of the end. We didn't know it at the time, and I know 2020, they ended up coming out of the chute with the big unbeaten streak, and I've talked many times at length about how that team felt like a paper tiger, and I think even all but the most ardent fans pretty much agreed with that by 9 or 10 games in, right before the streak ended. Like, yeah, this team is not what they actually look like. They look like more of a team that's going to go out quietly if they get to the playoffs, which they did, and they did. So I would say at least in 5 years or so. I know Kenny's first year as the man, you can argue, was intriguing, but for those of us who had sort of made a bit of a judgment on him, it maybe didn't have the same level of juice in that realm, that setting. This feels like a monster year. It really does. And I know that that's ridiculous to say about the Steelers on its face because they're the whole nothing changes, everything stays the same. You're never in danger of losing a job if you're the head coach here. You're hardly ever in danger of losing a job if you're an assistant coach here. There's a certain way they do things. They don't play like with the volatility of the rest of the NFL. They march to their own, drum. They do things their own way. Even knowing how inherently conservative the organization is, it feels like the following people, I think, are under the gun might not be the right word, but I think we're entering into uncharted territory for some people. Mike Tomlin's the first and foremost guy on this list. I say we're entering an uncharted territory for him for this reason. I would say if I own the team, this point would have been reached a while ago. I do think with Art Rooney, it might be reached this year if this goes belly up. Art Rooney said he wanted one of the two guys that quarterbacked the team last year to be back. That isn't happening. And it isn't happening, I think, in large measure because Mike Tomlin had his sights set on Aaron Rodgers the second he realized Aaron Rodgers was probably going to be available for the picking.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's morning lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Has tried Mitch Trubisky into Kenny Pickett, Kenny Pickett straight away, then going back to Mitch, then Mason Rudolph, then Justin Fields when he intended to make it Russell Wilson, then went rogue and went Russell Wilson, went lone wolf, whatever you want to call it. He cycled through basically a half dozen quarterbacks. Has Mike Tomlin, almost a half dozen since Ben retired. This will be number 6. None of them has worked out better than Mason Rudolph did for a 3-game string at the end of 2023. I would think if I were the owner, I would think this is bottom line, the year where if it goes bad again and it's the quarterback and the offense that go bad, I don't know where there would be for Mike Tomlin to hide. We know how much faith the owner shows in him. We know how they've all said things, the owner, the GM, how lucky they are to work with him. That might be the public face of it, the public sentiment that they put forth. if, say, Aaron Rodgers looks more like the guy that wasn't good for the Jets while their season was cratering and not the guy who put up good numbers down the stretch in relatively meaningless games, I would think that Art Rooney would say, man, now you're on double secret probation. You still got a couple of years left under contract here. If it doesn't turn around and you don't find the right guy in the draft this year and you don't show me that you're going to be able to coach this guy and get the most out of him and surround him in an environment where he's going to be maximized, bye-bye. We're going to consciously uncouple as organization and coach. We're going to mutually part ways when it becomes convenient to do so. I do think that the areas for Mike Tomlin to hide, not just locally, we know that locally with fans, this has been this way for a while. I think nationally it's going to come down on him if it doesn't work. People will blame Aaron Rodgers, but I think sensible people are starting to slowly come around to what actually is happening here with him. I don't think he'll have a lot of cover to run. TJ Watts, you just got paid, dude. Huge year for him. You've never won a playoff game. This team is paying you like they think you are a quote-unquote quarterback-level impact maker. Make one. $41 million a year. Go. You can look through the roles until Micah Parsons signs his deal, inevitably. It'll say highest-paid players by annual value. It'll be a bunch of quarterbacks, and then it'll be TJ Watt. Trent Jordan Watt. Show that you're worth it. Who was it today that said, somebody said this, it was Kyle Long, Chris Long's brother, Howie Long's son, offensive player, not a defensive player, the Bears lineman. He said he thinks TJ Watt will become a top three Steeler when all is said and done. Hell no. Hi, let's do this the easy way. Bradshaw, Ben, Joe Green. Bye. That's just playing the easy game of the six Super Bowl winning quarterbacks or the six Super Bowls and the two quarterbacks who've won them and the greatest player in franchise history. TJ Watt's got a long road to hoe to even start sniffing, I don't know, like the top six, seven. There are dudes who are Hall of Famers who won a lot here when it mattered who are still way ahead of him. Aaron Rodgers, I feel like I don't need to explain. He seems like he's vibing anyway. I don't know. Aaron Rodgers seems like the most unbothered person of all these people talking about peace, love, and happiness and how excited he is to get it going. But, I mean, I think there's pressure and there's intrigue there because he definitely wants to end his career not like a chump. I'd sign up for the Brett Favre ending for him where he throws a back-breaking pick if it happens in the AFC title game. Now, in the moment, I will be dog-cussing him if that were to happen, but you can point me back to July 22nd at 4:08 and you could say, hey, Mulzy, go back in the archives. 6 months ago or whatever, you said you'd sign in blood for this, and I'd be like, you know what, you're right. I would. I would take the Brett Favre ending. I'm sure he would take something approaching that. And guess what? There's one other group of people. There's two other people, I think, who are under a microscope this year. One of them just got a contract extension, but with fans, I think it's different. Omar Khan and Andy Weidel. You drafted bookend tackles who are still major question marks for different reasons heading into this season. It's absolutely put up or shut up time for Broderick Jones when it comes to the fifth-year option and how he plays this year. And I think it's put up or shut up time in a way for Troy Fautanu. You drafted a player that some people thought was a guard. You have faith in him to play right tackle. One of the reasons he might have been looked at a little bit more cautiously around the league is injury concerns. Whoops. What happened last year? Injuries. General manager now is 3 years into this tenure. He didn't draft Pickett, but he's had three draft classes. And the first one should start fully bearing some fruit now. We know Andy Weidel's the personnel arm of it. We know he makes the board. We know Omar tries to make the moves. I think they were more impactful. I think Omar specifically had a much bigger hand in this Jalen Ramsey stuff and the Minka trade and everything else than maybe we would otherwise be led to believe. Okay, you're given more autonomy. You're given more freedom. It's not the Mike Tomlin-only show then. Then you get to come on in. Welcome in. You get to get blamed the same way he does if things go belly up. It's the most intriguing Steelers season since blank. I think you got to go back at least to Ben's final year, maybe longer, maybe back to 2019, the first post-AB year when it felt like a different era was starting. The late stages of Ben's career, we know how that season started for him, not good. But I think you got to go back a while to find a Steelers season that has as much legitimate intrigue and as many people with something to seriously prove as the 2025 Steelers do. What say you? 412-928-9370. I'll go on the record and say it's the most intriguing season.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.